Gummer Jobber, Roosevelt Avenue. This is TabilePod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 15th of November, 2012. On this date in 1532, commanded by Francisco Pizarro, the Spanish conquistadors under Hernando de Soto met Inca Empire leader Atahualpa for the first time. In 1776, after 16 months of debate, the Continental Congress in the United States approved the Articles of Confederation. In 1791, the first U.S. Catholic college, Georgetown University, opens its doors. In 1859, the first modern revival of the Olympic Games takes place in Athens, Texas. Greece, actually. Although I knew a guy from Athens. Anyway, Texas and Greece. Anyway, never mind. So, 1864, Sherman burns Atlanta and begins his march to the sea. In 1943, SS leader Heinrich Himmler orders that gypsies are to be put on the same level as Jews and placed in camps. In 1969, in Columbus, Ohio, Dave Thomas opens the first Wendy's restaurants, soon to be repeated here in Tbilisi, funded by OPIC and EBRD. In 1977, Jimmy Carter hosts the Shah of Iran and his wife in Washington. Today is Palestine National Day. Our thoughts are with the people of Gaza, currently being bombed. Birthdays today, 1887 is Georgia O'Keeffe, and in 1891, both Avril Harriman and Erwin Rommel were born. Also, C.W. McCall, known for a song called Convoy from 1975. We would have played it, but I listened to it, haven't really heard it since 1975. It was so incredibly stupid that we decided to go for a better road song. Hope you'll like it. It'll be at the end. Also, today's birthday is the birthday of the well-known Tbilisi entrepreneur Steve Johnson, as well as the much-admired California athlete and scholar Grace Banfield. We are Cameron Christensen, Matthias Hooter, and me, Mark Mullen. Nothing we say can be held against us or is connected with our employers or family members. Following up on last week's story about the arrest of Interior Minister Bacho Akhalaya, the Joint Chief of Staff Gio Kalandadze, and the 4th Brigade Commander Zurab Shamatava, Kalandadze and Shamatava were granted 20,000 lari bail on November 10th, but Akhalaya, who is accused of abusing authority, specifically hitting a subordinate over the head with the handle of a knife, as well as unlawful imprisonment and torture, is still in prison.
The reason he's in prison, though, is because there were two points that were brought up. They said that he would have the ability to kind of tamper with witnesses, and that also he was a flight risk.
You know, and fair enough, frankly.
Totally.
I mean, you know, fair enough. Last night, Akhalaya was transferred from Goldani Prison Number 8 to Ordichala Prison Number 7, where he is now held in solitary confinement without bail. Reason for the transfer, security concerns. Prisoners were shouting at Akhalaya, "We will kill you," which some viewed as perhaps some sort of a veiled threat. Kalandadze paid his 20,000 lari bail on November 9th, and upon release, Misha ordered him to resume his service and, quote, forget about his prosecution, despite the pending charges against him and his December trial date. Shamatava also paid his bail and was released on November 11th. Tbilisi Civil Court suspended Kalandadze from his post, and Vakhtang Kapanadze was appointed acting Joint Chief of Staff. On November 12th, a new charge was brought against Kalandadze concerning another case of exceeding official power, specifically his insulting and beating up of soldiers. On November 13th, the prosecutor's office appealed to the Tbilisi court, requesting a pretrial detention of Kalandadze, but the court instead granted Kalandadze a second bail, this time 10,000 lari, and so he was released. You know, this seems kind of, I don't know, the charges against him, like, what's going on here? I mean, either are they trying to sweat him for something else? But the charges against him seem to be thin to me. I mean, why this guy? I mean, is this some Alassania thing, or does anybody know about
any? I don't know.
It's totally going to come to me probably later, but I have read something about what Kalandadze was associated with, and I'll try and remember.
All right. On November 15th, GHN reported that the head of the Constitutional Security Department, the notorious Kudi, named Levon Kardava, his subordinate Georgi Kavalashvili, and several other high officials in the Special Operative Department were detained after interrogation. Kavalashvili is charged with destroying property and abusing power. Kardava is charged with abuse of power, specifically the kidnapping of Prime Minister Bidzina Ivanishvili's guard Besik Surmava in September. Other officials are charged with using modern technology to obtain private information. Mm-hmm.
And that's, but that's
plenty of that's been going around.
But that was really interesting because we talked about that, what, 2 weeks ago or something, about how we thought that it had already been constitutionally prohibited, probably, to be listening in on everybody's telephone calls, but that they had actually some sort of exclusion, which allowed law enforcement agencies, maybe all of them, to listen in on people's conversations. It was the kind of Georgian version of the American-style Patriot Act.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I would guess that they're probably legally covered here, but I'm no expert in these these matters.
But with that, to charge the head of the Kudi with the bodyguard issue, and I would assume that they would have other cases as well. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, picking the bodyguard of Bidzina, it looks a little bit selective to me.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, what I would imagine is happening is, you know, like, as soon as Bacho Akhalai was arrested upon return, like, there were a couple things that, you know, people probably thought. One is, don't come back to Georgia if you're abroad and concerned that you might be detained, right?
Because and are, for example, the former Minister of Justice.
Right. Or you know, I mean, or have been involved with the penitentiary system of in any way,
right,
shape, or form, perhaps.
Or you've touched Cartoon Bank.
Right, or
anything close
yeah,
to
right.
But the second thing is...
Or you made some, you know, unfortunate posts on Facebook, or...
But the second thing is, people that are here are now probably thinking, like, oh no, am I also on this list? And probably thinking about taking family vacations somewhere else.
Right.
And so now, who knows, maybe they're just trying to basically get some of these people in... you know, in the system so that they can, you know, make sure that they aren't flight risks. I don't know. I mean, as far as I understand, people like, what, Shashkin, was it Shashkin has sought asylum in the United States?
And is he?
I think so.
I don't know whether he sought asylum, but he's hanging out there. And he, you know, he very well might. It's hard to say right now. I mean, I'm really, my mind is not made up on this. I mean, on the one hand, I think laws were broken. I mean, certainly Kudi was involved in a lot of very scuzzy stuff, and you know, and no doubt there were laws broken. You know, whether probably there were some things more serious than the kidnapping of the bodyguard. But look, I mean, you know, that's a crime. So you know, some of the other stuff though, it's hard to tell. So whether this is, I mean, the big question is this the start of the big witch hunt, you know, or is this just, you know, well, we're going at this step by step. I don't know. I mean, it seems a little...
Or are these crowd pleasers, where they
right.
they have to do something. And
right.
so they say Akhalaya and Kudi and, you know,
right.
somebody from the military, and that's it.
Right.
Well, and that they're going to be reopening some investigations into things that haven't been, some say, appropriately investigated previously, such as... Joania's death, and then
right.
Robakidze murder also from 2004,
right.
which was also something that people, you know, were very upset about.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
But the thing that was interesting too is that today Saakashvili actually said, you know, I could have kept those posts. I could have kept those three posts, but I gave them as a sign of goodwill, including the Ministry of Justice, and said that he allowed kind of the Georgian Dream Coalition to appoint their people, and it's interesting.
Yeah, yes, and no. I'm sure he'll get a little annoyed by all of this, especially the you know, electricity issues at his house. But
really?
they turned it off themselves, kind of. It's like, so we're so poor now, we have to turn off the lights.
Ah, okay.
It's
but
like, yeah.
But you know, on the other hand, I mean, okay. So if he had gone to the mat on the three power ministries, you know, it would have just ended in another parliamentary elections, in which, call me crazy, I think they would have fared a little bit less well, which would have meant a constitutional majority, which would have been a bad thing for everybody.
Sure, sure. But Saakashvili right now is using it kind of as a little, like, I could have done something else.
Right.
But, you know.
Hey. Chief Prosecutor Archil Kavalashvili said at a briefing on November 9th that a legal prosecution of the former head of the penitentiary department, Dato Chikadawa, would be launched soon.
And he's Bidzina's former personal chief lawyer.
Uh-huh. A NATO visit by the military committee, which was planned for the end of November, has been postponed. NATO Ambassador Gega Mgalabashvili does not rule out that the postponement of the visit might have to do with all these desertions of senior military officials.
Detentions, misread.
And so, and you know, of course, you heard the comment by what's their
Anderson? I don't know,
Rasmussen. Sorry, or as we refer to him on this show, the Dane. you know, they, you know, he said, you know, we're very concerned. And, you know, then there was the question as to what does that mean and was he informed and how concerned is he and, you know, who cares and...
why were they never concerned in the past?
And, right, you know, so it's not, I don't know, it's not not really too clear. I mean, I will say that these arrests seem pretty Keystone Cop-ish. You know, on the other hand, I think there was a bit of a rush to judgment by Rasmussen, but, you know, let's see. And particularly considering, I mean, let's be real. Georgia's not going to be in NATO anytime soon, you know, and everybody knows that. I mean, they're, you know, even considering all the soldiers that are in Afghanistan, I mean, I don't know. I think what this means is that NATO does not feel that it knows the new administration particularly well and doesn't trust it. And it means that the new administration is sort of still finding its feet in terms of, you know, how it deals with the international community and how it signals this or that and thinking through some of their, you know, some of their actions.
Yeah. Well, God, and if you're talking about NATO, though, I mean, the new administration was certainly dumped on quite a lot during the pre-election period, you know, for being Russian stooges. And so,
right,
I mean,
right.
Think about Russia and NATO. Yeah.
Is it cynical to say that NATO, I mean, they need people who hate Russia or who are hated by Russia. I mean, that's the legitimacy for NATO to still be around. That there's
what are you, a communist? What are you, an Austrian Euro socialist?
Like, Neo-Bolshevik.
Neo-Bolshevik? Unbelievable here. I mean, as far as I can tell, NATO's about, like, you know, keeping the military-industrial complex, you know, the transatlantic military-industrial complex, you know, fully greased. You know, what the, you know, the actual, you know, defense aspects of it, I'm not entirely sure.
You mean the theme song isn't shiny, happy?
All right. The Institute for Development of Freedom of Information, IDFI, published two blog posts on November 13th and 14th about the President's administration's reserve fund expenditures. After information requests, administrative complaints, and the threat of court action, IDFI was given this information by the President's administration. The first indicates that between June 18th and July 26th this year, over 33 million lari was spent on infrastructure and social projects in the regions. None of this went to Kakheti to deal with the floods. The largest amount of money, over 2 million lari, went to Rustavi municipality. Other regions that received over 1 million lari include Khashuri, Chiatura, Samtredia, Zugdidi, Kareli, Gori, and Kutaisi. The second post discusses large gifts from the fund given to two newspapers, Gurdistan, a Georgian newspaper for ethnic Azeris, and Vrastan, an Armenian publication in Georgia. Also, just under 300,000 lari was spent on transporting Somali-captured Ajaran sailors back to Georgia. On September 19th, 600,000 lari was spent on the opening of a new city hall and a court building in Lazica. From the spending patterns, this money seems like it was used for a large portion of pre-election purposes.
Actually, I was going to say the one thing that seems kind of legitimate here is maybe bringing the Ajaran sailors back to Georgia.
Obviously, electoral ploy. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, I mean...
But expensive air tickets, $300,000. How many sailors were these?
They were hungry, man.
There were like six, to be honest, but I don't remember. But no, I mean, my information on this is a little bit out of date, but what I remember happening in the past was that the reserve fund was spent, and then what would happen frequently is that these spendings would be reallocated to different budget line items. So in reality, you know, there was a certain percentage of funding from the budget that they were supposed to get for the reserve fund. But then once they went over it, they would say, okay, wait, well, we can take this expenditure and, you know, make it actually go under some other ministry or for some other, you know, allocation.
Right.
And then, you know, maintain that percentage. And so, I mean, it's...
Yeah. What is also interesting is that, you know, when the Kakheti floods were happening, Bizina said, I'm going to pay the 80 million lari fine. So he paid it, and they even amended the budget to have enough money. Apparently they didn't use the money that he paid into the budget to help the flood victims. And last week he got back the money from the government. So the 18 million fine went back to Bizina's accounts, although there was no court decision that, you know, declared the fine illegal or anything like that.
Huh.
But he got returned all the money he was supposed to pay into the budget.
Information agency Pirelli reported on November 8th that Justice Minister Tetsu Lukiani presented amendments and additions to several important laws, including changes to the rule regarding staffing at the Council of Justice, a more liberal approach to sentencing criminals, and a court obligation to provide public video and audio recordings of trials. Channel 1 will be allowed to record court trials without limitation, in the obligation that they share these recordings to other media outlets and interested parties. This is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like this is the beginning of a significant increase in transparency of a lot of different things, just more open data. Also, with the sentencing, I mean, one of the things in the Georgian criminal code, and it's something that they sort of pretend to copy from the United States when the U.S. started all its three strikes law and all its mandatory sentencing. All this stuff is in the Georgian Criminal Procedures Code and the equivalent American laws, you know, that say when you do this, you have to be sentenced. And supposedly it was a way of limiting the discretion of judges. In the end, in the United States, what it meant essentially was that a whole lot of young black men have gone to jail in Georgia,
stealing a pack of chewing gum,
or whatever else.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a, you know, your third whatever,
yeah,
or, you know, or third drug charge or something like that. I mean, you know, the overwhelming majority of them are for drug cases. Now, in Georgia, what it has meant is this was a foundational aspect of the plea bargaining system, because, you know, there would be something that happened, and the prosecutors would say, look, it says in the criminal code that you are to be sentenced this amount. And they are very, very long sentences. And so, you know, the only way you can get out of that long sentence, there can't be, it's the lenience by a judge is impossible. You know, the judge, you know, is going to be, if you're guilty, you have to be sentenced for very long periods of time for sometimes not so serious a crime. And supposedly this was all, you know, to, you know, get people to be scared and not commit crimes, but really it all just fed them into the plea bargaining system. So these are really big. We'll have to follow up on those.
Well, and people might not know that in fact a couple years ago the audio and video recording was actually prohibited, and so this is not
right. Even more than that, I mean, it was like four.
But even recently, reporters were kicked out of courtrooms because they were taking notes on paper with a pen, and then the judge said, you can't take notes on a paper, and then they started writing on their hand, and they were, you know, asked to leave.
Yeah, I mean,
they couldn't take notes.
And because, I mean, you know, let's just be frank here. I mean, that there were so many cases of judges being just so unbelievably and obviously biased in particular cases that journalists would be making notes about that, and the judges were embarrassed about it. But this kind of, you know, an increase in court information specifically, but in other governmental data generally is huge.
I think the other interesting thing is that the Ministry of Justice, I think, has already made some positive steps in collaboration with civil society. They recently have shared a number of legislative initiatives that they plan to push forward and ask for civil society comment, and there will be a big meeting of the Coalition for an Independent Judiciary on Monday, I believe, where some of these the civil society kind of response to these initiatives and will be shared.
Yeah. There was also briefly a commission to establish about political prisoners in Georgia, and GAILA and Article 42 were NGOs involved in a commission, and basically it was a discussion where somebody would read the name of every prisoner and were asking for a vote if that person is a political prisoner or not. And then the NGOs left that process because they said, you know, we need time to actually study these cases. We can't just decide if somebody is a political prisoner or not by, you know, voting.
Well, and also a political prisoner has a specific legal meaning, and
yeah,
which is a different legal meaning than the people connected with the state were giving it. You know, they were sort of, they were using political prisoner to mean was justice unfair,
yeah,
and, you know, or somehow partial or something like that, and it really is sort of diluting the term quite significantly. This in from Interpress News on November 9th. Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugalava was not allowed to attend a government session where he wanted to discuss social allowances. In the words of Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri, the mayor is not a member of the government, and so he has no right to attend cabinet meetings.
Was he attending before?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I do find that interesting that, yeah, he felt that he could just roll in.
Lenta.ru reported on November 12th that a Russian opposition activist, Leonid Razvozhnezhev, received 3,300 U.S. dollars from Givi Targamadze, chairman of the Defense and Security Committee. The money was transferred to Razvozhnezhev through another through another Russian opposition activist, Konstantin Lebedev. Sorry, I'm not so good with the Russian names, all right? Cut me a little slack here.
Not so good with the Russian names.
I'm bloody coming in. According to the investigation, in June 2012, they went to Minsk to talk with Targamadze regarding funding the disorder in Russia. Razvozhnezhev and Lebedev are in temporary detention.
Okay, so that I think is the version by Lenta.ru. I think the New York Times had a slightly different narrative, which was that the Russians kidnapped and detained.
Oh, this is that story.
An opposition activist and said the Georgians were funding you to start a revolution in Russia.
Oh, I didn't realize this was that story.
Yeah,
okay.
So I think. Lenta.ru has probably the Kremlin narrative.
Right, there might
be another narrative of that story. But it was an interesting attempt by the Kremlin to go after opposition people by connecting them with the former Georgian government.
Right. I mean, and I don't know, somehow the whole concept of, like, you know, Givi Targamadze walking around with, like $3,300, you know.
It's a bunch of oligarchs willing to
right, exactly.
More
it's like, okay, $3,300. And, you know, six free Metro cards.
Yeah. 50 cents per person.
And from Pirvelli on November 8th, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs announced that Georgia's ambassador to the U.S., Timur Yakubashvili, will be replaced. He's held this post since February 2011. His replacement is still unannounced.
I think he resigned, he said.
There was some article in the, speaking of, you know, Lenta.ru, there was some article in the Washington Times. which, you know, as I've mentioned before, like, around the world, there are people that take it seriously because they confuse it with the Washington Post or the New York Times, but it's actually one of the goofiest newspapers anywhere, as is proved by the fact that Sotney Bakuria, yeah. You know, formerly Aslan Abashidze's button polisher, will occasionally publish things there.
But that's interesting. You know, I think people should remember that during the pre-election period, I think the Georgian embassy in the United States was connected with sending out or connected with these emails that were being sent to influential policymakers in the United States about all the horrible things that Imanishvili and his team were doing.
Yes, and indeed influential in strange connection. Full disclosure, I used to be on the JIPA, Georgian Institute of Public Affairs board, was the chair of it and then just a member. And also on that board was Timur Yakubashvili, and rector of that august institution is the now education minister, Georgi Margvelashvili. Interesting to see how those, I mean, they always seem to get along, you know, fairly well until I think fairly recently. I don't know how that's going. Info number 9 reported on November 10th that 59 inmates have been released from various institutions. The reviewing commission will continue to reconsider other inmates' cases. Rustavioti reported on November 11th that Soso Robachidze, the father of Buta Robachidze, a teenager killed during a police operation in 2004, has appealed to the prosecutor's office demanding a relaunch of an investigation into the death of his son.
This was, wasn't this one of the kids that was shot down by Freedom Square, and then they say that they placed a gun in his hand?
Could be.
I want to say that's that story.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know the story, but certainly there have been discussions about that sort of thing happening quite a bit. Following up on last week's story about the miners' strike in Tribuli, Interpress News reported on November 8th that Member of Parliament Eliso Chapidze Guy Giorgioliani and Dato Bejashvili met with the miners, but the sides could not come to an agreement, so the strike continues. Following up on last week's story about the bus driver's strike, Interpress News reported on November 13th that after 5 days of striking, the drivers have resumed work. Drivers made this decision after meeting with the Goldani majoritarian MP Soso Ginchfliani, who assured them that their problems would be studied by a state commission led by BI. GHN reported that the previous day, November 12th, Gigi Ulava proposed that the Tbilisi Transport Company be subordinated to the Ministry of Economy, making the then bus strike the ministry's problem. There's an idea. After considering the way that, you know, that Marshuka and bus tender, you know, issue has gone over the last couple of years, the ministry rejected the initiative of the mayor, stating that the city is obliged to solve the problem of the bus drivers itself, so that it was transferred to the Gamgeoba of Lanchkuti. No, not really. No, not really. I made that up. Okay.
I have an idea how to resolve this.
I know.
It's someone else's problem.
pass in the buck. Interpress News reported on November 10th that the strike at the Poti port ended after strikers were promised a 20% increase in salary that will take effect starting the 1st of December. Channel 1 reported on November 14th that employees of Telasi launched a hunger strike demanding that dismissed staff be rehired and that salaries be increased. The protesters said that they will not resume work until the Energy Ministry meets their demands.
What kind of impact is that going to have on people?
I don't know. You know, good question. This labor thing is just very interesting. I'm wondering how this is going to, you know, how this is going to end or, you know, progress with changes in the labor code. I mean, is this going to lead to a measurable increase in salaries? Which, I mean, let's be real, whether or not it's measured will probably lead to an increase in unemployment. I mean, where is this going to go? I mean, how does this do? Business people, what the national movement people will say, especially the libertarian wing, will be like, oh, this is such bad press. This is going to freak out foreign investors and nobody will want to invest in Georgia. I'm not so sure about that, but there seem to be a lot of strikes being reported.
And I mean, the bus drivers. I mean, if it's true that they make on average 800 lari, you know, that's a pretty decent pay. I mean, given the number of, you know, unemployed people who drive taxis around, I mean, having 800 for driving a bus is not bad, so.
Yeah. Channel 1 reported on November 14th that 630 doctors dismissed from the 4th Clinic Hospital, now the Alexandre Aldashvili University Clinic, demanded an investigation into their dismissal. The doctors claimed that they were dismissed 1 year ago because of restoration works in the building.
So?
Whatever. a special thanks to the TabilePod.com listener for this story. Victims of construction company Centerpoint. We haven't really talked about Centerpoint in a while, but for those of you who don't know, Centerpoint was a property development company run by Vakhtang Ratsirlishvili, former head of the Socialist Party under Shevardnadze. And he somehow managed to survive the transition into, you know, the post-Rose Revolution transition. Had a big property development company in which he'd take a bunch of money from people for building big new buildings and then spent the money. The weird thing is that his wife or sister or something was a deputy speaker of parliament. And he's around. I saw him on Erekle Meode Street, I don't know, a few months ago. You know, he's not in jail. And the money clearly was stolen. Now, there's an organization called Dexis, which is sort of tasked with fixing the problem and dealing with the whole
finishing
mess.
Finishing the unfinished buildings.
And just, you know, somehow
taking more money from the people who bought into the company.
Right,
I thought the city also was contributing something to finishing those buildings as well.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that the money was taken from it. I mean, the strange thing is that there doesn't seem to be, you know, Ratsirlishvili, who did this, has not really been particularly punished. I think the question now is, what's the new government going to do? Is the new government going to pony up a little bit more effectively than the old government did? And, you know, how does this relate to whatever Dexis is going to do? And some of the investments, I mean, it's a real mess. It doesn't really even make sense to do. I mean, probably better to just pay them out. Some of them, you know, Centerpoint actually does own some fairly valuable real estate, not nearly enough to compensate for, you know, all the theft that happened. But, okay, so there was a rally in front of the general prosecutor's office. Three people met with Prosecutor Archil Kabilashvili, who promised to launch an investigation. Reported on November 14th that street vendors in Tel Aviv demand the right to sell products outside the agricultural bazaar. About 50 vendors claim that they cannot afford to sell inside the bazaar because of high taxes on the space. Governor Zurab Kurashvili pledged to resolve the problem by negotiating with the market's administration. That's regional governor. They still exist, and that means that sort of BI's personal representative, and everybody would be doing a big favor if those individuals were not still around.
Wait, no. Is it BI's personal representative? Those are still presidential appointments.
No, they've been, right? BI appointed
them. I think the Georgian Dream wanted them to be able to nominate them. I don't think they have been changed.
They have not been
changed.
These
are still Misha's people, as far as I know.
Okay. All right. Well, that position should be no more if there were to be a real system of local self-government.
Or an elected official.
Or an elected official if they want to move to a regional rather than a Ryan form of, territorial size. GHN reported on November 15th that the former education minister, Nika Gvaramia, has been appointed to head the broadcasting company Rustavi Ori. The former general director, Gio Gegeshidze, remains a 9% shareholder and holds the position of chairman of the board. TV company Sakartvelo owns 51% of the shares of Rustavi Ori, and resident media expert Matthias Hooter will tell us, what is media company Sakartvelo and where is it registered?
Well, Sakartvelo used to be a TV station controlled by the brother of the Sretem Tiameti governor. But it was sponsored by the Ministry of Defense. And recently, the publishers of the Tabula magazine obtained the license that was held by the station.
Oh, how
convenient. They're launching their own TV channel now. And
how did they get that? That's always seemed a difficult thing to do.
The regulator just signed off on that. And,
isn't this one of the same licenses that has been kind of passed around also? This isn't, because there was that one thing where the GNCC was saying that they weren't giving out new licenses, but then someone all of a sudden
transfer. But anyway, so this Sakartvelo, it's like the same people still own Rustavi too, and they bought this company, Sakartvelo, which doesn't have a license anymore, so it doesn't really matter. But it's the two, Levan Karamanishvili and Georgi Karamanishvili, who are both seen as people who are close to Misha. Hmm. And they also have been involved in the Marshutka auction that you mentioned. Or at least Levan. Levan is also the guy who registered Beeline or Mobitel in Georgia. He represents the people who own 49% of Beeline through offshore entities, people who are assumed to be close to the former government, and the people who own Caucasus Online, also through offshore companies. That's Levan Karamanishvili is the guy who represents these people and who owned Rustavi too during the last year. So he's kind of the trusted manager for people who don't want to be known.
Whoever they may be.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I kind of would have wanted to see what would happen to Tabula if they kept up their current way of management.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just...
What do you mean the current way of management? They keep getting free money, you know? I mean, they're given money and you know...
And then they give people who don't want their magazine. Yeah.
And I heard this new TV channel, Kacha Bindo Kietze, who is paying for the TV channel, will apparently have his own cooking show, which is something that I think everybody's keen to see.
I would watch that show, because I don't know if he's a good cook, but he is a very funny guy. Also, he's the guy who brought the chef to the totally excellent restaurant that used to be in Europe House on Freedom Square. Mm. That was just the most fantastic restaurant in Georgia, but then, I don't know, changed to be a much less good restaurant. The fate of Georgia House, by the way, is unclear. Europe House. They have not. They've said, you know, they're not going to fund it anymore, and so it's not really clear what's going to happen there. And let's hope that Europe House remains Europe House and a totally excellent venue for European stuff.
And Kafa Benukitsa also has a company in the U.S. that tries to genetically modify, I think, salmon
in San Diego, or something.
And to grow it in in tanks or something like that. And he's trying to get a patent on it.
Yeah, he's the guy's a very serious entrepreneur. He's very successful in Russia doing turnarounds in big factories rather than in extraction like everybody else.
But speaking of magazines, are there any, there's Hot Chocolate still there?
Yeah. Hot Chocolate's still going.
It's Liberali, the got money from BI's company, TV9, and is now back in print since early September, and the Buddha. And
you know what I would like? I would like Kaja Bendukidze and Vano Medabashili to have a show on cars, like, you know, sort of Avto talk, you know?
Do you mind, Hello. That is going to be my show.
Pimp my Niva, then.
And my Niva is going to be the first one. That's the rule.
It would be fun to like a talent show of former high-level officials. Like, you have a jury, and then they have to do, like, I don't know, sing or dance or do funny stuff.
It would be funnier to have a talent show of new, current officials. That would really, yeah, I don't know.
Or both. The best xenophobic
two
show
teams.
Or something.
Two teams, you know. Yeah. Media.ge reported on November 14th that the Russian language channel Kanal Pik has a new owner, and 60% of its shares were handed over to the Chevyesa LLC, a company established 4 days before this purchase.
It also doesn't really matter. It's owned by the public broadcaster, and then there's operating companies that, you know, tend
right.
to steal money.
Lithuanian Dariur Gelevičius is the founder and director of Chevyesa, and according to Lithuanian media, he was an advisor to the then interior minister, Vano Medabashvili. Pirveli reported on November 8th that the founder of two TV stations, Stereo Plus and First Stereo, David Zilpimianiani, has had his shares in the two stations returned to him by a Tbilisi court decision. The shares were illegally seized by Vasil Kobakhidze, the largest shareholder of the company, on May 12, 2012. Media.ge reports on November 14th that Irma Inashvili, head of the Object TV studio, demands an investigation into Kanal Pik's seizing of their station's broadcasting frequency. In 2007, the management of Object TV was trying to get the frequency back via court decision, but the court dismissed their request.
They were the kind of the people who got the prison torture videos.
Just now, Object TV.
Yeah, but they're kind of weird, sketchy. I mean, they're not what you would think of, like, professional, ethical, high-level journalism.
Right.
Well, the whole thing, though, right, is this related to the fact, like, if you don't broadcast within 3 months, you lose it? You lose your
No, I don't know. I think just the licenses and frequencies at some point. I don't know.
Kavkaz Press reported on November 13th that the cable provider Global TV has returned the Russian state-run news broadcasters to its package 4 years after cable providers received a government directive ordering them not to carry those networks. The government issued this directive during the August 2008 war with Russia. Interesting. So there's going to be a lot more Russian language TV floating around in cable packages.
And Kanal Pik will no longer have the
monopoly
edge on that market.
Yeah. Following up on last week's news about UNM boycotting parliamentary sessions, Interpress News reported on November 12th that UNM members have returned to parliament, saying that despite the blackmail and political pressure, they continue to work in parliament.
So, you remember that last election that we had, and you remember those parliamentarians that didn't go and they boycotted?
Yeah.
I wonder what the UNM people who decided that they were going to boycott temporarily said about the people who boycotted.
What was that? What were they saying? Why were they saying that they weren't? I mean, what were they just saying, like, you know, we're just angry and they were just being all pouty and goofy? Or what
right
was
now?
It was the arrest of Akhundayev.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Prime News Agency reported on November 13th at the Parliament that Parliament recognized the authority of 10 new MPs. They're replacing MPs who took other posts in the administration. And by the way, as predicted by our former colleague and mascot, Will Dunbar, each of the people who were replaced were from the party that the person, like it was a Republican that became the whatever there. You know. Hats off to Will and his prodigious tweenie over there in London. Georgia Times report on November 15th that the former Energy and Finance Minister Alexander Kataguri has been appointed as Director General of Itera Georgia Company. Itera Georgia's assets include 10 gas distribution companies in Georgia.
It was bought by SOCAR recently by the Azeri Gas Company.
Mm-hmm. As reported. You heard it here first on TabilPod.com. Interpress News reported on November 12th that the Minister of Culture, Guram Udashadi, as deputies have been named, Alexandre Margishvili, Khatuna Kundadze, art critic Marina Mizandari, and the photographer Yuri Mechitov. After the announcement, Mechnikov was actively discussed on Facebook because of a video recorded by a Ukrainian journalist in 2011 in which the shirtless Mechnikov talks about the regional makeup of Georgia and says that Georgians should toast Russia every day. Later, Mechnikov said that the video should not be taken seriously. Kundadze, in discussing pictures on her Facebook wall and some not so grammatically correct and extremely spicy words about the former government, took responsibility for some of the comments, you know, but then said others that I had a fever and had just gotten out of, you know, from home from the doctor, and that some of them, the worst comments, my Facebook had been hacked, and like they said all these words that were really just over the top naughty as opposed to the, you know, just somewhat naughty ones I said before. And she kept talking about being a sort of civilian or non-member of the clergy. She said, like, I'm against the building of the mosque in Batumi, but since Europe requires that we build the mosque in Batumi, I mean, how not the EU, but Europe, then as a public figure, I support it, but the situation isn't solved, so, you know, that may change.
I hear that all these people are, like, Mechnikov is apparently a very good photographer. You know, the speaking and on the side. I don't know, people, there should be a memo in the government, you know, you're appointed high-level official, we just want to let you know there's an option in Facebook to delete all the stuff you said in previous years before we announce the...
That would be useful.
Wait, what are you saying, though, about, is it Kundadze or Kundadze? Kundadze, you're saying, well, she was just cursing, or she was actually saying
she was saying what things should be done with the president and high-level officials, and it is not, it's, you know, not for children.
Not for these children, anyway.
It's nothing that, you know, you would say on a dinner table.
Yeah, or on a family show like this one.
Okay, but I mean, let's not lie to ourselves. Like, explicit. Georgians have very colorful language. If you understand Georgian walking down the street, you
unlike
can hear,
us, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. But she would use what drunk teenagers at 4 a.m. are shouting at each other that she said.
That they say all the time walking down the street if you're listening and
that's
want
why,
to be annoying.
That's why I don't go
basis.
With Georgian.
If you don't know
Georgian, you think that everybody's saying, oh my God, look at how the sky is just so beautifully blue. It just reminds me of that Picasso painting I saw yesterday. But no, they're not saying that.
Well, yeah. All right. But, you know, okay, she's now a deputy minister, and so it's a question of, you know, standards. Or at least ability to, like, you know, tidy things up a little bit before an announcement is made. Prime News Agency reported on November 13th that lawmakers have officially removed Georgi Tughushi from the position of ombudsman.
They carried him out the door.
that's a rich visual image there. According to legislation, within 10 days, the MPs must elect a new public defender. Nina Khatiskatsi, formerly of TI Georgia, has been nominated for the post by Parliament. Prime News Agency reported on November 13th that Minister of Finance Nodar Khadouri is sure that the banks will decrease their interest rates. Khadouri said that the government aims to work with banks on issues related to credit. Terrifying all banks in terms of how the government intends to work with them in order to do that.
But some of these statements, like a politician says, I'm sure that will happen. It has actually, in some areas in Georgia, has had some impact already. But it's not the way of how you manage the relationship between businesses and politics.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know people in the banking world that, I mean, say, you know, you look at, like, Bank of Georgia's listed on the London Stock Exchange. You know, their financial, you know, the reports are readily available. And, I mean, you can see how profitable they are or are not. You know, who knows how good their books are. I mean, I'm guessing that, like, you know, every bank in the world right now, they're saying that their books are a little tidier and, you know, more secure than everybody else's. And I don't see where the room is for leeway there. I mean, what gives if all of a sudden they lower lending rates? I mean, how, you know.
But I mean, you probably know about this. I mean, how are credit scores even... Is there even such a thing as a credit score in Georgia? I mean, and also the loan rates are actually incredibly high, right? I mean,
they
it's
are
like prohibitively high for, let's say, a small business, someone who wants to open a small business outside of Tbilisi. I mean, what
they are incredibly high, and I mean, you can say that's due to the inefficiency of banks. You can say that that's, you know, due to risk. I mean, but, you know, when you've got
not enough savings, maybe. I mean, also the saving, if you have, if you put cash in the bank, you get 7% interest rate on dollar
and euro. You get 9, you get 10%. Yeah. I mean, you get very, very high. So it's, I mean, the spread is not that great. I mean, it's just that the interest rates themselves are high. So the interest rate that's paid out, I mean, I don't know how much of that's country risk. I mean, I'm not a risk analyst, but I just, I'm not sure where the, you know, where that would come from. And from Kvitis Palitra on November 12th, according to Bezek Pipia, a refugee from Abkhazia, UNM vice mayor of Tbilisi, Mamuka Akhladiani, offered him 2 million lari to pretend to attempt an assassination of Saakashvili in 2007. This was when Badri Patrikhatsishvili crossed to over to the opposition.
If people remember, actually, about Shevardnadze, they say that some of those assassination attempts against him were actually staged, too.
I don't believe that. I was here for the one in 97, man.
That's what they say, man.
Or 98 or something like that, February. Oh, my God. I mean, that was like you could – the amount of shooting that you could hear and the car getting crunched up, I mean, it was really amazing. I mean, there are shell casings that you just all over the place.
For sure, but there were like – he survived three, I think, and there have been –
I don't know. There's 90 – I mean, there's 95 and 98 –
I think there was another one.
There may have been another one earlier, but I don't know. I don't
it's
believe
the word on the street. You know, just passing it along.
The word of the birja, yeah, you're the vodka birja.
Solalaki, please.
Okay, fine. Rustavioti reported on November 11th that the sports minister Levan Kipiani has called on the president of the football federation, Zvia Tsichinava, to resign, but Tsichinava has refused. The minister said at a briefing that sports should be depoliticized.
So
depoliticized, which is code for we need to get our guy in there.
I just wonder, though, but if he refuses to resign, how does he get fired? Or how do they get rid of him?
Yeah, good question. And there seems to be some confusion about, you know, who resigns an elected, you know, post or, you know, whatever else. I mean, certainly I've heard some issues recently about the recently appointed or rector of the Art Academy, who's supposedly doing some good work, but there's some, you know, shenanigans going on in the board, and I don't know, all sorts of people are being leaned on.
Lots of the sport association heads have been appointed by the president.
They were just appointed. But so, I mean, like, if yeah. they, but how, so does that mean he also is the only one who gets rid of them?
I don't know, if they need a parliamentary majority to, you know, kick out the head of the water polo foundation.
Hey, don't knock water polo, man. Georgian water polo is serious, you know. It is, really.
And he left with his head held high.
Umbebi.ge report on November 14th that Yorki Margvelashvili, Minister of Education, declared that they're going to increase tuition fees. Quote, higher prices serve the states aimed to improve educational quality, end quote, in universities, the minister said. Yeah, that's going to be tough. Info 9 report on November 12th, students at Georgian Technical University set up camps in front of the administration's building, demanding the resignation of the rector, Archil Prangishvili, in early elections of student government. Prangishvili declared that elections will be held according to the university's regulations, and he has claimed that he is not authorized to change this. Students have since stopped protesting and said that they are ready for negotiations.
And maybe also to clarify, Info 9 is BI's mouthpiece.
Uh-huh.
Just like TV9. I mean, he gave an interview to his own TV channel when he was in Brussels this week. It's just kind of Berlusconi-esque.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have the dancing showgirls and the parties.
That'll change soon, I'm sure.
And by the way, Prangishvili is a really awesome last name.
Prangishvili is a fabulous name.
Yeah,
I've never seen that name before.
Son of a Frenchman.
Sarkia Information Agency report on November 9th, the Parliamentary Committee on Economy and Economic Policy are discussing non-taxable minimum incomes for people with an annual income of less than 6,000 lari. RIA Novosti reported on November 14th that Russian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Andrei Denisov said that Moscow is ready to discuss returning Georgian wine to the Russian market. Georgian wine was banned in 2006 for alleged hygienic reasons. BMI, the airline, is now over. Sarkia Information Agency report on November 12th that British Airways officially started regular London to Tbilisi flights. The company offers daily flights to London, daily, supposedly. The price of a round-trip ticket is 428 lari. It starts at 428 euro.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
I mean, Munich has been 400 and is now, I think, usually 500 with Lufthansa. And BMI was bought by British Airways. That's why.
Lufthansa,
so it's more competition.
And it's a much better time. The Lufthansa flight's like 5 in the morning or something, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
The London flight's like 10.
Is it? It used to be also the middle of the night.
BMI,
maybe not a new one, maybe during the day.
The BMI flight also went through Baku.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's 10 a.m. direct to London for not much more than going to Munich and it's daily, that's big news, man. Georgian News TV reported on Georgian News TV. What the heck is Georgian News TV?
It's something affiliated with the 24 Hours newspaper, but that has fired almost everybody recently. A couple of weeks after the elections, they had the tender money, and I think that's
right, because they was 24 Hours was the go to for all of the government procurement.
Yeah.
Anyway, Georgian News TV reported on November 12th that the National Religious Institute demanded the removal of the Shangri-La Casino located next to the Patriarch's office. The organization staged a protest outside of the casino and stated that its close proximity to Sioni Church and the Patriarch is unacceptable and that unless it is removed, protests will continue indefinitely.
And I'm still wondering how Misha allowed that to slip through. He looks out of his palace and there's this big bright screen showing
Shangri-La.
It's next to the bridge.
And the bridge.
Okay.
Always the bridge.
Okay. Here's what I heard, that there were proposals for a casino right there, very tastefully done with a little sort of balcony and old little red brick. Da, 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 da.
And he said it needs a bit of flash.
And there was a meeting at the city hall. They were discussing the projects, and then they had the most garish, Vegas-y, ridiculous one. And everybody was just saying, like, this is ridiculous. What are you kidding? And they were going to go for the much more tasteful designs. And Misha happened to come in at that time, sees the Shangri-La as it currently is, and says, fantastic, I love it. And that's what. And everybody said, fantastic, we love it. That was the one that was done.
The screens they have are so bright. I've only seen only at Times Square you have like this kind of level of brightness that kind of overwhelms you.
All I want to know is where LasVegas.ge is, because that's where the ladies play poker in bikinis.
According to all the billboards?
According to the television. But who, also, this National Religious Institute, who funds it? That's what I want to know.
Oh, I don't know.
Where's the money?
It's not Scientology.
Interpress News reports today that a fire broke out early this morning in a shopping center Lilo, and dozens of firefighters were mobilized to place the extinguishing to put the fire out.
27 shops burned within 20 minutes.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Is this in Lilo?
In Lilo.
This tiny market.
Shopping center Lilo, is this? Lilo Market. The big Lilo Market. Okay,
it's worth checking it out. If you haven't been out there, it's past the airport. It's like hundreds of stores.
Yeah, it's a really incredible place. Everybody should go to Lilo.
But they managed to put it out in 20 minutes, but nonetheless, 27 shops were destroyed.
Wow. All right, thanks to DebilePod.com Malibu correspondent, the OSCE, for this story, the OSCE Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights, ODIHR, released the appropriately named ODIHR, released a statement on November 7th about the U.S. general elections, and I quote, "The election campaigns were vibrant and highly competitive, and the electoral process enjoys broad public confidence," end quote, said Ambassador Don Everts, the head of the ODIHR Limited Election Observation Mission. Again, quote, "At the same time, there are real concerns over issues such as voting rights and the accuracy of the voters list, the transparency of campaign finance," no questions there, "recount procedures and access for international election observers," end quote. Yeah, when the Texas Attorney General says we're going to arrest any observers that show up in my state.
I'm not gonna lie. I actually looked up to see if this was a joke story.
Okay. There was one long-term observer from Georgia, one from Armenia, one from Azerbaijan. I wish I knew who the Georgian long-term observer was and where, you know.
Find us. Find us.
Somebody, if anybody knows, let us know. Because, I mean, where was the Georgia long-term observer in, you know what, Oklahoma? Or, the rest were from Albania, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Belarus, Croatia. There was a Belarusian election observer for the U.S. elections. Fabulous. Croatia, Denmark, France, Macedonia, Germany, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Serbia, Spain, Switzerland, Ukraine, and the United Kingdom.
The Belarusians run ODIHR now. When I worked for ODIHR in Austria, I was traveling with a Moldovan and a Belarusian observer. It was the first mission ever in Austria. and we were smashed by all the newspapers. How the Belarusians come to tell us how we do elections here.
Oh, dear.
No, we come to learn all your work about this, and then we implement it in our state.
Okay.
Very smart people.
Geocapital number of the week from Geocapital Microfinance Organization, of which I'm a shareholder. This week's number is 91.5, which is the percentage residential units in Georgia that are owner-occupied, according to Geostat, cited in a report by Jones Lang LaSalle. The rate of house ownership is very high compared to, for example, Germany, which is 42%, the United States, 67%. I don't know whether that includes foreclosures. Topping the list is Bulgaria, with 97% of housing units being occupied by their owners.
But, you know, are you going to explain why it's 91.5%?
Because there was no private property here until 20 years ago, and then they just handed them out.
And everybody was able to buy it for almost nothing.
Well, it was just given wherever they happened to be living. And the real estate market is not really shaking out. They're trying to work on property tax, but a lot of these places, it's politically very difficult to have, you know, Western-level property tax rates. They've tried a couple times. It hasn't really worked so well. And so, you know, you can live where you live sort of indefinitely and not really repair anything. And, you know,
if you want to rent, you pay Western European prices.
Right.
Well, if you remember when they were starting these whole Sololaki kind of renovation things, they were trying to do something related to property value and through, you know, property taxation. But basically, you know, you can end up with a pensioner who happens to have, like, this really awesome property in a really, you know, posh place, but they have no income and no money.
Right.
So,
yeah, lots of those around. So the real estate market is not shaking out. It also means that there's a lot of, much noted by internationals, that you'll have, you know, a really beautifully repaired apartment, and then one that's just sort of falling apart, and in the hallway is a big mess because the neighbors can't really agree on who pays for the hallway and who, you know, approves it and all that sort of stuff. Couple of corrections. This from a TabilPod listener. The number of MPs needed to form a faction was reduced from 10 to 6 when they put the numbers down. Of the number of members of parliament from, what, I think 235 or something like that to 150. So you can have six people in a faction now.
I also posted a correction myself. I had talked about when consumer protection and food safety. I mentioned that there was a website that currently exists, and for some reason I made one up named foodsafety.ge. But it's actually momkhmarebeli.ge, which means consumer in Georgian, and it's momxmarebeli, that's actually Eurasia Partnership Foundation that supported the Center for Strategic Research Development of Georgia, CSRDG, which I couldn't remember either, to develop that website. And I should also disclose that I work for EPF, but I would not like to be affiliated with my misremembrance of the website.
This week, Colga movies are Hannah and Her Sisters, 1986, on Monday, November 19th. Crimes and Misdemeanors, 1989, on Wednesday, November 21st. All movies begin at 8 p.m. Dom Kino, across from McDonald's and Rustaveli Metro, and cost 7 lari. A Russian film festival will be held in Rustaveli Cinema on November 21st through 25th. The program will contain approximately 30 feature films, documentaries, and experimental works by contemporary Russian filmmakers.
And in early December, the Tbilisi International Film Festival is coming, and that's always a week of really good movies that you can really not see otherwise in Georgia, and the tickets are going to be 2 lari, I'm reading. And so,
where do you get tickets?
I think at the cinemas, at the movie theaters, but just Google Tbilisi International Film Festival and you will find
Yeah, they really do have good stuff, so check that out. Stephen Jones, one of the best historians of modern Georgia, has a new book out right now, Georgia, A Political History Since Independence. It's available in Prospero's Books right now as we speak. It's not yet available on Amazon, but can be pre-ordered there for December 24th.
There's no ebook version yet, which is a bit disappointing.
Yeah, but his books are great. The first one, which is about the sort of Menshevik run up to independence, is fantastic and will really help you understand Georgia's Georgia's modern history and a lot of the bitterness around what an interesting period that was and how sort of sadly it ended in a lot of ways under the Soviet boot. And I'd highly recommend them to anyone who can get their hands on. WeOTV, another one of the, .com, another one of these sources that, okay, whatever, reported that on Wednesday, November 14th, Lasha Pataraya, the Georgian strongman, moved a truck weighing over 8 tons by pulling it with a rope tied to his left ear in Rustavi.
I'd like to say that they didn't report, they showed it.
Yeah, they showed it. And, you know, okay, I looked at this video and I don't really get it. Like, how...
Yeah, I don't either.
He's got, like, this thing wrapped around his ear. It's not a pierced ear. You know, it's like he's got this thing wrapped around his ear. And I don't know. I can't figure it out. He has some bones sticking in there that could kind of hold it. I don't know. Anyway.
This is like, you know, people are just stretching for
it's
random
just,
it's
some weird
to get
stuff,
into
yeah.
The Guinness Book
exactly. First personal exhibition of Zura Simonishvili, a self-taught painter, was opened at the Georgian State Museum of Theater, Music, Cinema, and Cinematography. About 50 paintings are there in an exhibition titled Thoughts and Colors. It'll be on display until November 17th at 6 Cargadatelli Street. National Parliamentary Library on November 17th will host a lecture seminar of George Lohmann, professor of philosophy at the University of Magdeburg. The topic will be the responsibility brought by technological progress. Starts at noon at 7 Gudiashvili Street, building number 3. Admission is free.
Death of a salesman has ruined the name Lohmann for me.
Tbilisi's very cool pedestrian rights organization, Iaray Pechid, is holding a street photo contest, an exhibition to protest against cars parking on sidewalks. So the way it works is go to Iaray Pechid, IAREPEKHIT, on Facebook or the webpage. You can print out a flyer that will encourage people not to park on the sidewalk, put it under somebody's windshield wipers, take a picture of that, email it to iarepechit @gmail.com, and that is an automatic entry in a lottery that if you show up on the 17th at 2 p.m. in front of the Emeli building on Rustavelli, which is right next to the Smart Store, then there will be 3 winners that will receive Kelly Green Converse All-Stars.
And so can I just mention that in some cases, parking on the sidewalk has been legalized. I think I mentioned this before, but what I'm going to say, no, hold on, before you say what I saw today was pretty awesome. So I'm walking down the sidewalk, as one would do, and I all of a sudden... in the middle of 2 cars who have basically are facing each other, and one of them wants to go one way and one wants to go the other way,
driving on the sidewalk
and they have to figure out who needs to move forward or backwards. And I was like, man, I really want to submit this.
Okay, that counts. All right, yeah, put that in there. Yeah, come to that on Saturday at 2. It will be very fun. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tbilpod, tblpod @gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And from 1977, from the immortal movie Smokey and the Bandit by Jerry Reed, we bring you Eastbound and Down.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run.
eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound up, watch old Bandit run. Old Smokey's got them ears on, he's hot on your trail, and he ain't gonna rest till you're in jail. So you got to dodge him, you've got to duck him, you gotta keep that diesel trucking. Just put that hammer down and give it hell. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound up, watch your back.